Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Each and every Wednesday at this time, we talk to our good friend, the Hall of Famer, our senior Texans columnist at SportsRadio610.com and GallerySports.com. Brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John McClain joining us on the program. John, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm working on a column for SportsRadio610.com that'll be up this morning. And one of the things I looked up is there are only five players left from Deshaun Watson's last game. Only one starter, Brandon Cooks. The others are Jordan Akins, Jonathan Owens, John Weeks, Kyahmi Fairbairn. That was January 3rd, 2021. You talk about a massive rebuild. It's amazing when you look just 2 years ago what the roster was compared to now.
Well, John, just to head this off, because I know we're going to get texts, Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard were on that team. Did they just not play in that game that day? Is that?
Yeah, I'm just looking. They didn't take a snap in that game.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It is wild. John, what do you make of Tony Busby bringing, it sounds like, around 10 of the accusers to the game in a suite?
Not much. And everybody nationally, I'm doing a lot of national talk shows. Everybody thinks there's going to be a huge buzz down here because of Watson. Now everybody is talking about Tony Busby and his suite and the 10 plaintiffs. I guess all of them settled with Watson. And I'm interested to see how TV will handle that.
Yeah, I think I was trying to get a sense on the pulse of Houston about this. And I really don't get a sense of, like, on the football side of things, I don't think Texans fans, really want anything more to do with all of it because they're just tired of it. And then, B, there's just no intrigue from the football side of things right now. Like, if the Texans were a competitive team right now, I feel like everybody would be super charged up to prove that, hey, look, Deshaun, this is what you messed up. You could have, like, we don't need you. But there's just not an expectation that you're going to feel that way, right?
I think that's a great observation. I think everybody that I've talked to here, I can't find anybody that's fired up about this game because they're just so down on the Texans. Like, they've just zapped their energy for the Texans. And if the Texans were competitive and they'd won two or three games and people thought maybe they have a chance, there might be more. But right now, no. I think they want to get this game over with. And based on the way they played the last two games, when they've totally embarrassed themselves, there's should be more of that coming. You know, the Browns are going to be pumped for this game. They're coming off a tremendous come-from-behind victory over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. They're hoping they can get on a roll with Watson and at least compete for the last wild card spot. So they're going to get a team that runs the ball that should come in here. Ideally, for the Browns, you'd never have Watson throw a pass because you'd have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt run the ball all the time. But he's got to treat it like, I've been saying, a joint practice. He's got to throw from the pocket. He's got to roll left, got to roll right. He's got to throw for when his schedule gets real in the next game at Cincinnati.
John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. John, it sounds like Deshaun Watson is going to meet with the media today in Cleveland. This will be his first media availability since he stood on his innocence shortly after getting suspended for 11 games and issuing a written apology to everybody. You were in a position at one time where you were at every press conference and you had the first question. If you had the first question at today's Deshaun Watson press conference, what would it be?
Oh, everybody was going to want to know how he feels about coming back and playing. And then they're going to ask him about Tony Busby and 10 of the plaintiffs being at the game, the reception that he'll get from Houston, how he's handled the suspension and his time away and his time back. Somebody may ask him if he has any regrets the way he handled his last two news conferences. I was still surprised when they did those that they didn't say no legal questions, because it's ongoing, because he said some things that got him in hot water. And they're going to do it. They're going to get it out of the way. And if it were me, I would, you know, I don't care what happened in Houston anymore. I'm more interested in this game from a Cleveland perspective. I would ask him about how he handled his suspension, if he has any regrets, and what he'd like to accomplish in this game besides winning.
So with your Cleveland media buddies like Tony Grossi and the like, how are they handling Deshaun in this? Is everybody kind of keeping a cautious distance, or is everybody gung-ho? I shouldn't say everybody. Are a lot of people just gung-ho full bore on the Deshaun train now?
Well, it's kind of like a guilty gung-ho. If you're really gung-ho, it's like, you know, you show that, well, maybe you shouldn't be. You should be more, you know, concerned with the fact he's here. He's getting the record-breaking contract because they're still getting blasted about it and will continue to get blasted about it for a while. And but they're blasting the Browns, too. The Browns have been a huge disappointment. It hasn't been Jacoby Brissett's fault. He had two miracle plays at the end of that Buccaneers game. One was wiped out because of a penalty. Then he came back, did the exact same thing with Amari Cooper with a deep pass to set up the winning touchdown. So they're down on their defense because the defense is not nearly as good as it should be. And so they're very, very critical of what the Browns have been doing on the field, because everybody, they didn't think they're going to be great with Brissett, but they thought they were going to be better than they are. And now they want to see, okay, you went out and you humiliated yourself by signing this quarterback and giving him a record-breaking $230 million fully guaranteed contract. Okay, let's see why you did it.
So, John, you expect the stadium on Sunday to basically look like the last handful of home games have looked, where it feels like there's as big, if not a bigger, presence of opposing fans. Do you expect that to look this way this Sunday, and Texan fans are just, you know, whereas they may have had this game circled on the calendar when the schedule came out and Deshaun's suspension was announced, that they're essentially going to be kind of sitting on their hands like it feels like they've been, justifiably so, the last month or so?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be sitting on their hands if they're given something to cheer about. Yeah. You know, once you humiliate yourself in the first half, you get outscored 50-0, you know, your hands are full of beer and a hot dog. And I think that Watson will be booed the first time he comes out. But and I think there'll be a lot of Browns fans. There's a lot of Browns fans in the Houston area, in Texas. They'll be here. They'll have a good turnout. And they're interested in seeing what Watson can do. It is still their team. And I tell you something, it's going to be very interesting. And this is what I've been telling the Cleveland media. If the Browns win the toss and they defer, and the Texans go 3-and-out, as the Texans are being booed off the field, don't think it's being booed because Watson's coming on the field. Because remember the last game here, the offense was booed like crazy on the first series. And so it could be, if they go 3-and-out under Pep Hamilton again, that the fans will be booing them, and people up in Cleveland will go, wow, listen to the fans.
Oh, for sure. For sure they will. You should have to hold up they should give the fans two towels walking into the stadium, one an orange one and one a deep steel blue, and you have to hold up the towel of whoever it is you're booing at the time.
It's way more towels than Deshaun's ever had in his life before.
So, I do think he'll be booed by the fans who are there. And then, but I don't think there's a big crowd. I know people that bought tickets, had tickets, and season tickets, told me they're not going because they're mad at the Texans and they don't care about Watson anymore. And I told them, I said, well, give the tickets away to somebody. And they said, well, who? I said, call Landry Locker. He'll give them away.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's a charity ticket broker. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do you think? So, John, with Lovie Smith, the question a lot of listeners ask us is, hey, you guys didn't expect the Texans to be good, so why are you, why are you saying Lovie Smith should be fired? And I think my biggest objection right now to the way this bad team is being bad is that I don't feel the younger players, the first and second year players, are necessarily progressing at the rate I thought they would. Is that ultimately what Lovie's going to be judged on, whether those guys develop or not?
I don't think so. Well, maybe that's part of the equation. The fact is they haven't even been competitive, and they were against the Eagles and they were against the Giants. They have not been in the last two games. You know, when you do what they've done in the first half of these last two games, like get out gained 533 yards to 37 in the first half, you know, that's not going to help you keep your job. And the team, even though I thought they're going to be bad, I thought they'd win six games. They won four under David Culley. I picked them to go 6-11. I didn't expect them to win more than that. Five wouldn't surprise me, but I didn't expect them to be worse than last year. I didn't expect them to be the worst team in the NFL, and I certainly didn't expect Davis Mills and the offense to be awful under Pep Hamilton. And so if Lovie Smith gets fired at the end of the year, and then I think the reason that Nick Caserio would do that and the McNairs would sign off on it is because they didn't see him being competitive. You know, I appreciated Kyle Allen's honesty so much after the game in Miami, in which he pointed out when you get down early, they play soft coverage. So you dink and dunk it down the field and try to score. And that's what had happened the week before. You know, Lovie didn't mention that. Davis Mills didn't mention it, even though we all could see it. So they get more yards in the second half because the defense is not rushing as many and is playing soft coverage. So maybe they'll bounce back and be competitive again and show some spark. But right now, they don't have any. There's still guys playing hard. Defense had five sacks, could have had six. Four of those were against Tua. Mike McDaniel took Tua out to protect him because he's getting hit so much, and Tua is still throwing the ball for his first three series in the third quarter. Malik Collins had his best game, so the defense was playing hard. And guys like Jordan Akins, now there's still people playing hard, but when you're getting your butt kicked and it's from the get-go and your offense is utterly pathetic, big changes are coming.
John, how would you like to see them, if they are going to fire Lovie Smith and clean house, how would you like to see them attack this next head coaching hire in terms of who you target, any particular type of coach? How would you like to see them go about this?
I'd like to see him hire DeMeco Ryans. He's going to be the hottest assistant coach on the market. His defense is playing great. He's only been a coordinator for 2 years, and he had a chance to interview last year, said he didn't think he was ready. And he's been tremendous. I saw him before the preseason game here, and I shook his hand. I said, let me be the first to congratulate you on your new head coaching job. And never did I think it could be with the Texans, because I didn't expect them to be this bad. But if you draft a quarterback like Bryce Young and you were to hire a guy who's one of the most popular players in franchise history, and I think people would get really – really excited. And I don't think you need to go from defense to offense, although that's what teams usually do. The key for DeMeco would be to make sure he got a really good offensive coordinator and a play caller.
John, I'm looking at the candidates that the Texans had announced last year as candidates for their head coaching jobs. I'm going to eliminate three of them right now: Lovie Smith, Josh McCown, and Kevin O'Connell. That leaves four guys that interviewed for the job. Tell me if any of these would be candidates again. Hines Ward, Jonathan Gannon, Joe Lombardi, the Chargers offensive coordinator. Jonathan Gannon is the Eagles defensive coordinator. And Brian Flores.
They liked Gannon a lot when he came in here. I think he finished second. And Philadelphia, of course, is still really good. They play well. You know, people are like, why didn't they hire Kevin O'Connell? Kevin O'Connell went into a great situation, which you had your quarterback, your receivers, your running back. He just went into a good situation, as did Mike McDaniel, as it turns out. But I would, you know, maybe they'd interview Lombardi again from the Chargers. But of that group, I would say Gannon, another defensive coordinator. Maybe that Nick Caserio will decide, well, we want to go offense this time. And if he does, you know, I have no idea who he would interview. I'm pretty sure he's not going to be interviewing Josh McCown, although if McCown was the head coach calling plays, this offense couldn't be any worse.
That's true. No, that's very true. John, what are you thinking of the Jim Crane as general manager of the Astros era so far?
I'm writing a column for Gallery Sports. It seems to me that since it's going to be after the first of the year and maybe closer to spring training, he's not going to have a traditional GM. But Brad Ausmus, who Bagwell spoke very, very highly of because they're good friends. He's been a bench coach. He's been a manager. He's been an assistant coach. And I could see Brad Ausmus coming back here in a role that maybe didn't say GM, but would lead to him being GM. He needs to come in. They've got three assistant GMs, and they're doing pretty well with this group. Bring him in here, let him work with them, and then see if he or one of these others stands out. And because you're GM and you come in here and all the personnel decisions have been made in the off season, that's not what a traditional general manager is doing. And right now, they're making, it seems to me and most other people, they're making all the right moves. And I love what Crane said about bringing in another bat, not being afraid of the luxury tax. There's a report that they're interested in your favorite guy, Wilson Contreras, mm-hmm. and the role that he could have, which is exactly what you said on the Utopia podcast. Yeah, we recorded yesterday, play him at DH. I didn't realize he could play a little left field.
Me neither.
But play him at DH, play him at catcher. And the key is, though, I think, is that his last year of his contract? I read that it was. I thought this year was last year. Yeah, this year is the last year of his contract.
Contreras, you're talking about? Contreras is a free agent.
He's a free agent.
He's a free agent.
Yeah, so does he want to be a full-time catcher? St. Louis is looking for a full-time catcher. So if I were him and I could be a catcher and a DH and maybe fill in every once in a while in left field, that would prolong my career. It would help me at the plate. You wouldn't get all those bumps and bruises that catchers play with. I would welcome an opportunity like that. But as it always does, it's coming down to the money.
Yeah, well, and Jim Crane's paying over market right now. I think Contreras may get what he wants. We'll see. John, you mentioned you got the column going up on Gallery Sports about Jim Crane, and you mentioned your column going up on sportsradio610.com. For people who came in the middle of the segment, just repeat that, what you got going on.
I'll have one posted on sportsradio610.com this morning, and then I'll have one later today on Gallery Sports on Watson's return. Then I'm writing about the Astros for Gallery Sports, and then I'll write another one about Watson at the end of the week, more about Watson and the game and the strategic part of that game for sportsradio610.com. And thank you guys very much.
Yep. And John, we're recording our next podcast in a few hours, so I look forward to that. That'll be fun.
I do too. And thank you guys.
Yep. Thank you, John. And a reminder, everybody, the Utopia Football Podcast is me and John McClain. The mailbag episode just dropped this morning, so we answered a lot of questions, as John just alluded to. We talked some Astros on there as well, because that's fun. So download it, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. John alluded to something there. Seth asked the question, the biggest concern right now with the Texans, the biggest concern and the thing that if Lovie Smith does get fired, this should be the reason why. We'll tell you what it is next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!